Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Proverbs 29, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. This is verse 18. So I'm going to read it once, and then I'm going to read it again, but plug in some words from other translations, all right, to try to fill out the meaning for us a little bit. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Throwing in some other translations, we could say, where there is no revelation and divine guidance, the people are discouraged and aimless. But blessed is he who believes what God says and aligns with God's will. Where there is no prophetic vision or revelation or divine guidance, the people cast off restraint. They're discouraged, they're aimless, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Blessed are those who believe what God says and aligns with God's will. I know I read that four times instead of two, but anyway, you get the point. Let's pray. I'm going to talk today about laying hold of our prophetic promises. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing amongst us. God, we thank you for the foundation of the last 2 years and all who've sown into that. We thank you, Lord, for 2023 and the significance of this season that you're taking us into. But God, I'm asking that there would be a new unfolding of prophetic vision for us, a new connection into the divine purpose that you have for us as a church. Father, I pray for each of us individually, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see where we fit into your divine vision, into the prophetic vision of your kingdom. Lord, would you begin to shine the light down the path of our future? Father, we thank you that your word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our path. God, I'm asking that you would begin to shine the light down the path of our future and show us specifically how we fit into your purpose. Father, I pray that you would deliver us from aimlessness, deliver us from a sense of purposelessness. God, would you bring revelation of divine purpose where we would have this high sense of calling that, Lord, you have set us apart for such a time as this, that, Lord, you see us and you know us and you have a purpose for our lives. Lord, it's our desire to stand before you and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, speak to us today. Give us divine insight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe by a show of hands, can I just see who at some point in their lives has had a personal prophetic word of some kind? Someone prophesied over you. Almost everyone. I've received many prophetic words. You know, being in ministry, God will often frequently encourage us, especially when we need it the most. But one of the very first directional words, and you know, there's a difference between a word of encouragement that kind of opens our eyes to hear how God feels about us and a directional word, you know, that begins to give insight into calling and future. But one of the first directional words I received was about 2 years after I got right with God. I was a uni student, 21 years old, radically saved, and was walking with Jesus, graduated from uni. I had a degree in finance and an internship at Merrill Lynch and was going to be a stockbroker, but I was just feeling a bit like that didn't really connect in with God's purpose for my life. I had this direction I was going, but it didn't seem to fit with what God was calling me to. Has anybody ever felt that before? Like, I'm going this direction, but something just doesn't feel right. It feels a bit off. And so I decided to take a year and do this leadership training program that was connected to the church that I was a part of. It was a discipleship training program. It was not unlike maybe a Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry or a Pneuma School of the Spirit, a year out program. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to focus on Jesus exclusively for 12 months and just see what God says. And at the end of that year, if I don't have any more clarity, I'll go back to the path that I was on and continue with that. But at the beginning of the year, there were these prophetic words that are this prophetic presbytery, and they called each person up and began to prophesy over us. And I received this prophetic word, and in this word, basically what God said was that I have called you to preach my words. I've called you to teach. I've called you to lead my people. And it was this sense of calling, both to reach people who are far from God, but also to lead the people of God, to lead in the church. And the reality was that I didn't really want to act on that word. I didn't want to do anything about it. I struggled to believe that it was true. My flesh didn't want it. It felt very uncomfortable. Have you ever received a word and you're like, man, that's not the word I was looking for? You know, it just felt very uncomfortable. I lacked the confidence that I was the person that was required to fulfill that prophetic word. But I couldn't escape it. And I knew that God was calling me to partner with him in the fulfillment of that word. I knew that there was something that I had to do to lay hold of that word. I had a part to play in it. And so I began to go after it. I began to find Bible verses that agreed with this word. And I began to just speak them out of my mouth over and over. My favorite was Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound. And I would say it over and over again. I've probably said over 10,000 times in my life, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. I had to partner with the word. I had to begin to shift and change and align what was going on the inside of me with what God had said. If there's a prophetic word that you've received that maybe you haven't begun to walk into the fulfillment of that word, it could be because God is waiting for you to partner with him in agreement with that word, to begin to use the power of your words and the power of your declaration to align yourself with that word. Have you ever wondered why God even gives us prophetic promises? Why he gives us prophetic words? Why doesn't he just cause it to happen without telling us? He could do that. He could just bring it about. One reason is because without prophetic vision, life is aimless. God wants us to have a clear picture of what he sees for us in our future. God has called us to a life of purpose, not a life of aimlessness. And it is prophetic vision that brings that sense of purpose. If life is feeling a little bit aimless, the answer to your problem is prophetic vision. Some divine guidance to see clearly what God's will is for your future. And the answer is found in hearing God's voice. Now, for most people, for most of us, before there's ever a specific prophetic word that we receive, there has to be this pattern and this habit of going to God's general promises in his word and laying hold of those. God's word has to be a lamp to our feet before it's a light to our path. In other words, we need to cultivate this relationship with God. It was 2 years of me walking with Jesus, spending time every day in his word, cultivating a relationship with him, trying to get his word from my head, from the page to my head, to my heart. And that's a process, meditating day and night, going back to the word, confessing it, speaking it out of my mouth. And then 2 years later, the directional prophetic words begin to come. I was already reorienting my life around God's written word before the prophetic word ever came. If you've never received a prophetic word, you've got a lap full of it right there in the Bible of God's prophetic promises for our lives to begin to lay hold of. Why else does God give us prophetic words? Because God wants us to partner with him in the fulfillment of his purpose. This means that the prophetic words that we receive, they're not automatic. They don't just fall into our lap. They don't just happen automatically. We have to lay hold of them. God has sovereignly chosen that it would only be through our faith and our prayer that his promises are fulfilled in our lives. This is why John Wesley said something to the effect of God never does anything in the earth except in response to the prayers of faith of his people. God could, but he's sovereignly chosen to partner with us. And so we have a part to play. And Jesus is teaching us this over and over and over again in the word. We see it so many times. There's a time that Jesus cursed the fig tree. You know, he's walking up to this tree. He's on his way to Jerusalem. There's no fruit on it. And he's hungry. And he's maybe a little upset. There's no fruit on it. And he says, may no one ever eat fruit of you again. And it says the disciples heard it. And the next day, they're walking back by, and Peter says, hey, Jesus, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus could have said anything at that point. Yep, I'm a powerful man, or yep, that's the power of God, or that's the power of my words. He directed it to the disciples. He said, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to happen, it will be done for you. Whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be given to you. There's the story of the centurion. And you know, like when I look through scripture, there's two things that Jesus marveled at. He marveled at people's faith, and he marveled at unbelief. One of the times that he marveled was the centurion, who was this military commander, Roman military commander over like 80 to 100 people. And he comes to Jesus and he says, my servant is sick. Will you come heal him? And Jesus is like, sure, let's go. And he said, no, you don't. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. If you'll just say the word, it'll happen. I've got men under my authority. I'm under authority. I know the authority on your own. You just say the word. And it says that when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Whoa. Jesus is like, whoa. I can't believe it. And he says, listen to his words. He says to all his disciples, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such great faith. He marveled at his faith. And then Jesus says, go, let it be done for you as you've believed. And his servant was healed. Then there's a Syrophoenician woman. Jesus marvels at her faith. She's, you know, that goes through this whole exchange of Jesus basically. She's crying out to the disciples and to Jesus, begging Jesus to heal her daughter who's demon-possessed, and he's not even responding to her. It's just total silence. And finally, the disciples are like, Jesus, can you get rid of this woman? She is annoying us. Send her away. And she comes and falls at Jesus' feet and begs him to heal her daughter. And he says to her, well, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. This woman was a Gentile. And she's begging for help. And then he answers, he says, it's not right for me to take children's bread and throw it to dogs. Man, what an insult. And her response, Jesus is like, whoa. She says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What he says, oh woman, this is the ESV, oh woman, how great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So many more stories we could talk about. The woman with the issue of blood who dives. Jesus didn't even know that someone was laying hold of power from him until he felt it come out of him. He's just there. Jesus is completely passive in this miracle. It's the woman who dives and grabs Jesus' clothing. Jesus stops, feels power come out of him. Who touched me? Jesus is like, all the disciples are like, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? He said, no, I felt power come out of me. And then he turns to this woman. He says, go in peace. Your faith has healed you. Jesus didn't say, my power healed you. The mercy of God healed you. No. Jesus was completely passive. This woman laid hold of something that she knew was rightfully hers. And Jesus was just a passive participant. Jairus, what about the lame man? His friends are cutting a hole in Jesus' roof. Jesus' roof. The picture we get is that they were at Jesus' house and cuts a hole so they can lower him down because they can't get through. And Jesus marvels at their faith. But then there was something else that Jesus marveled at. He goes to his hometown of Nazareth and he shows up and people are like, who is this? This is the carpenter's son? We know him. We know his brother. We know his mother. And Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And it says he could not do any mighty works there except for just heal a few people. Jesus' ministry was hindered by the unbelief of the people of the town. Can you just grasp that for a minute? If that's true then, it's true today. Jesus' ministry in the earth is hindered by the unbelief, passivity, and casual inquiring of the people of God. Can we let that sink in? And it says in Mark 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. In the same way that he was like in awe of the Syrophoenician woman's faith, the centurion's faith, he was in awe. How can it be that you don't believe? This is the, man, it was spoken that I would come from Nazareth. How can it be that you don't believe? Unbelief, a lack of faith, a passivity, receiving a prophetic word, but not partnering with it. No fulfillment. Jesus is hindered in bringing fulfillment of his prophetic promise through our unbelief. He pours out his power in fulfillment of his prophetic promise when we believe, when we add our faith to his faithfulness and his promise. And so a prophetic word that we receive is not so much God saying it will be done, but it can be done if you will believe. This is, if you go after this, I will move heaven and earth to make it happen. This is my will for your life. And so what does that mean for us as a church? What I felt to do today was to recount some of the prophetic words that we have received as a church. Some of them you may have heard, some of them you may not have heard, but some of them may give some insight into why we are the way that we are, why you've heard some things prayed that maybe you've heard around here. But it's important for us to recognize that our individual destiny is played out in the context of a community of people. Jesus said, he didn't say, I'm building your life. He said, I'm building my church. I'm building a community of people who are following me together, who are going to push back the gates of hell wherever I put them. On the morning that God spoke to me about moving our family to plant this church, God said to me very clearly, he said, I'm not calling you to focus just on ministering to crowds. I'm calling you to make disciples, train leaders, and plant churches. In other words, don't let the measure of your success be the number of people that show up at a service. The measure of your success is disciples made and leaders raised up. And then he said, I will make Pneuma Perth into a launching pad for mission into the nations, into Asia and into Africa. And he put four cities on my heart. And I pray for these cities every week. I pray for KL. I pray for Singapore. I pray for Cape Town. I pray for Zimbabwe. In fact, one of our pastors just went back to Zimbabwe. He's originally from Zimbabwe, one of our Pneuma pastors. And I connected him with one of the students that I ministered to and reached and discipled at Deakin University back in 2004. Connected with him, speaking life over him, faith over him. There's this sense in my heart. There is more work to be done. There are relationships that I have there. God's calling us to connect into that nation in some way in the future. Prior to our move here, Pastor Stacy Hillier had a word for us. She said, I heard the prayers of an apostolic man. And she said, I believe these were the prayers of David Storer. And God was saying, I want you to partner with these prayers. And she saw him crying out to God and declaring, Perth will be a city of light. Perth will be a city of light, a light. Perth will be a city of light. And then she said, I felt the Lord declare that you are a part of Perth becoming a city of light. Perth is coming into a cleanup season. I'm bringing light into dark places. I saw people of influence disclosing long-held secrets to you, secrets to do with organized crime. I will use you to clean up the underworld of Perth. Perth will be known as a city of light. God will use your church to clean up crime, to clean up the underworld, and to clean up trafficking in the city of Perth. And she highlighted these passages as promises from God. Matthew 10, 26, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Joshua 1, 3, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you just as I promised Moses. Some of the most significant prophetic words we had came at our last staff discipleship before we were sent out. This was in November of 2020. Pastor Stacy actually recounted that word again. And then Dr. Mike had a word. He says, God says, I'm calling you to focus on the kingdom. You will reach the lost, the broken, and the hurting. Those who know they need life and healing. But God is calling you also to reach those who do not know that they're lost. He will give you inroads into demographics and communities that are very, very lost. But on the outside, they look like they have it all together. Finances, good homes, status, position. But they're lost. God will give you keys to unlock doors that will bring them into the kingdom. And Pastor Sheree continued, Holy Spirit has gone before you into places that are completely covered in darkness. But you're not going into darkness. You are going as the light of God into those dark places. Every step you take, it lights up. I've not called you to be the church where church people are shopping at. I've called you to be a church that would go to dark places. I see you being a church that will have influence in universities on levels that no other church has ever had influence on. It's a groundbreaking ministry that God has called you to. He has called you to reach people who are far away from Jesus. She continued, I see international students being changed as a result of stepping into a relationship with Jesus and knowing who the Holy Spirit is. God is saying, it is not by your might or strength, but by my spirit. You will walk into those dark places, put a stake into the ground that will affect the lives of many. Hello, this is why we're at Curtin Uni. You're going to see multiple people come and check you out as a church, but God is saying not to get sidetracked by those coming in from other churches. In other words, those coming with other agendas. I'm calling you to reach people from unreached people groups. There is going to be an an establishing of apostolic leaders coming out of this house, and they are going to go into other nations out of this hub, into other nations as leaders. She continued, there's an evangelism grace that is coming on this church. It's going to light up the city that is dark. You need to know our emphasis on evangelism. I get accused sometimes of being an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. We simply have prophetic words spoken over our church that dictate a focus on reaching the lost. Pastor Corey went on in this moment. He said, you are called to be liberators. I've anointed you to be liberators. There will be an army that you raise up, and they are all going to carry the same armor and be liberators. He will send you out to places where there are strongholds, where people are in slavery and bondage. They are in prison. They are shackled by forces of darkness, by oppressive spirits. You are going to be liberators. The Spirit of God is upon you to preach and to liberate. Hello, Isaiah 61. You will bring a father's heart with spiritual authority. It will cut through strongholds and bondage, and people will come into freedom and liberty. Yours will be a house of prosperity. I'm going to prosper you. You will find that just as there are mines in the natural in WA, there will be treasure in the house of the Lord. Anybody want to claim that one? There will be treasure and resource in the house to do all that God has called you to do. Perth is coming into a season of abundant harvest and revival. Over the next decade, there is going to be an explosion of my purpose across the west of Australia. You have a great window of opportunity over the next 10 years. The church is going to multiply and accelerate, and God has called you for such a time as this. A few months later, we had our official launch. This was April 2021. Pastor Corey was here in Perth. He said, I'm putting on you a multiplication anointing. Where you've added by numbers, you will multiply in churches. In the third year, a seed for a new work will be planted in your heart with great specificity. And in the fourth year, steps will be taken to form a team and plant a new seed of my Spirit in the ground. This will be the first of many. Pastor Stacy said, I see a vision of a spring bubbling up under the surface of the city, Perth, and it became like a hot spring. And the Lord said to me that once upon a time in Perth, there were some ancient springs where the people used to go and sit and soak and be refreshed. Then I saw this giant plug pulled out, and the pools were emptied because there was some darkness inhabiting these pools. And the Lord said to research that. So what I found was that right now in 2021, there are being rebuilt on the river here in Perth some natural hot springs that were shut down because of the sexual perversion that was happening there. And the Lord says that you've been sent here for this time, this place with these people, because in the spiritual realm, these pools of refreshing are being refilled. They are bubbling up. And she says, he took me on a tour of these pools, and there were five pools. Each of them had a sign beside them. The first pool said healing rooms. The second pool said marriage and family. The third pool said kingdom business. The fourth pool was youth ministry. And then there were some specific words about Sophia. And the fifth pool was the seven mountains of influence. God is going to send you people from the seven mountains of influence who will rule and reign and bring kingdom culture in this city. That number of five pools will also become significant in the coming years as five Pneuma locations burst forth from this one location, but for now, it's five ministries. Can you begin to see how these prophetic words are important in shaping what we give ourselves to, what we focus on? Last year, Roma Waterman had a word. She said, Pneuma Perth is going to be known as the All Nations Church. It's going to be people coming from the nations. So God says, think bigger. Start thinking from beyond who is there now and call it in. And when I was reviewing this, this really struck me. She said, your strategy is think big and then call it in. How's that for strategy? Think big, call it in. Think big, call it in. Late last year, Rue, who's one of the younger prophets in Melbourne, sent us this this word. He said, I felt the Lord say, your building isn't big enough and it's going to happen very quickly. Get ready. Very quickly, your building will be too small and you're going to have to move into a new location. There is great increase coming to you sooner than you think. Perth will be an epicenter of revival. It's about to come upon Pneuma Perth and it will happen quickly. When it does, your building will be way too small. One more. This was Pastor Corey at our recent All-In Revival night. I saw you're going to raise up some wild sons and daughters in the kingdom. I saw warriors being raised up in the house. I saw wild sons and daughters. I saw small groups of wild disciples of Jesus all across this city. I saw them in the northern suburbs. I saw them in the east and the south and the west. You're going to put iron into them. It's like you're going to train these UFC warriors in the spirit realm. And the Lord says that wild sons and daughters, even warrior princesses, are going to be raised up under your ministry. Wild warriors in the spirit realm are going to be raised up, and you're going to equip them, you're going to empower them, you're going to anoint them, because there is a warrior spirit in you and in your church. I am bringing new liberty and new fruit into your lives. How's that for some prophetic promises over our church? More words I could have shared, but these are some of the more directional, more defining words. And every single one of us have a part to play in seeing these promises fulfilled. We were in a prayer meeting last week. Every third Wednesday, we have revival prayer. And it's my dream that we would all just, you'd all just come crash my house and we just fill my home, our home, with prayer. Just come, more than we can contain in one room, and we got to spill into other rooms. But I felt there the other night that there was a company of people that was carrying spiritual weight with us. Can we have the worship team come back up? We don't just have individual destinies. We are a part of a corporate destiny. God has called you and I not to live isolated solo lives, but to be a part of covenant family, to be connected with God's people for a purpose. And the thing I love about the vision and the mission God has given us, seven mountains of influence, that about covers it. Where has God called you to and what's he called you to do? Make disciples in that place. But we must let the prophetic words shape our expectation of the culture of what our church becomes.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.